Welcome to an incredible word from Pastor Marcus Dunham, Associate Pastor here at Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
Well, listen, I'm excited about bringing the word tonight. And we are going to be in the book of Luke tonight. And the title of the message tonight is Looking for Jesus. Looking for Jesus. You know, there's a lot of people looking for Jesus. Whether we realize it or not, a lot of people in our life, a lot of people around the world that are looking for Jesus. In fact, there was a time when you were looking for Jesus. Anybody remember that? Whenever you were looking for Jesus, maybe you didn't even realize it, but you were. And we're going to read about a guy who he himself was looking for Jesus. And I think that there were a lot of people who were surprised. They probably thought he was the last person to be doing so, but that's indeed what was happening. And so, and we'll find that in Luke chapter 19 today. And as we stand right now, we are about a couple of weeks away from Easter. Man, I'm excited, man. I don't know about you guys. I get excited about Easter. And, you know, it's not just because I'm a pastor. I really do get excited about Easter. And I just like what it stands for. I like what it's about. You know, I love people. You know, it's around this time that people really start looking for, you know, a church. People want to, you know, start looking how they can get more God in their life. I think that there's just a grace period for that time where people are really looking for Jesus right now. And, you know, they are, you know, whole family units looking for Jesus. And so that'll be coming up. I'm at the end of the month. In fact, I want to encourage you to invite somebody to Easter this month. It will be an amazing service, and so we're looking forward to it. But we're about a couple weeks away, so I thought it'd be cool if we were to find an account that similarly was about a week or two away from Jesus going to the cross. And that's what we're going to do here in chapter 19. And in fact, Jesus is in the third and final year of his earthly ministry, okay, in chapter 19. And in that final year of his ministry spans from chapter 9, Luke chapter 9, and on. And so, and you'll read that there. And also, specifically in chapters 12 through 18, we see Jesus in a region called Perea. In fact, I'm going to bring up this map here, and you can see it. If you're online, you should be able to see it as well. But as you see these titles here, you see Judea and on the bottom in orange, and that's where Jerusalem was. Then you have Samaria and Galilee. Okay, in chapter 9, all the way through chapter 18, Jesus is making his way from Galilee down through Perea, which was the eastern side of the Jordan River. I don't know if I'm correct. I don't think that you ever see the word Perea in there, but it refers to the eastern side of the Jordan River, and it's talking about that region right there in green. And from chapters 12 through 18, Jesus spends his time traveling, making his way back to Jerusalem, for the sole purpose of him going to the cross. Right now, he is headed to the cross, and he's going through Perea. And so you see all that. And then in chapter 19, we see Jesus crossing into Judea. And I feel confident talking about this, because Pastor Ron has been talking about this very thing in his Bible study on Mondays in going through the book of John with Pastor Ron, and it's been a joy. And if you've been there, you you know, have enjoyed the same conversations. But and I want to encourage you that if you have some time on Mondays during your lunch at 12 o'clock, it's an hour long, just, you know, if you're able to pull away to join us, it's an awesome time. And but Pastor Ron's been talking about this very thing, how Jesus, whenever he would make his way down to Judea, he would go around Samaria. And obviously, it's a quicker trip to go from Capernaum in Galilee down to Jerusalem by going through Samaria, but there was a reason. He would go around to the eastern side of the Jordan River, and that was because Pastor Ron mentions that the Samaritans, they didn't like Jews. They didn't like the Jews. And so if you were going from Judea up to Galilee, you would go through Samaria because it was, you know, they wouldn't really bother you because you were leaving Jerusalem. Yay, you're leaving Jerusalem. Hey, what's up? Man, those Jews down there, I can't stand them. You know, I mean, you know, it wasn't a big deal. But if you were to go to Jerusalem going through Samaria, then you were going to find some problems. And so Jesus decided to, you know, and just like everyone else, they would avoid any contentious moments by going around to the eastern side of the Jordan River. So Jesus is making this trip for his final time. And he is on his way to Jerusalem. But before he gets there in chapter 9, he stops in a city called Jericho. So let's go ahead and pick up and let's read beginning in verse 1 and we will end in verse 10. Luke 19, verse 1. It says this: He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. Verse 9, Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. Verse 10, For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So, as I mentioned, he was leaving, Perea on his way to Jerusalem in chapter 19 tells us that he's passing through Jericho. So on his way to Jerusalem, he passes through Jericho. So just a little bit about Jericho, because it will give light to what we're going to talk about in just a moment. But Jericho was a very prosperous and affluent city, and it was a very desirable place to live. In fact, they had balsam trees that were planted throughout the city of Jericho. Now, for those who do not know what balsam trees was, which I did not before, but balsam trees are known for the fragrances that they give off. It has medicinal purposes, but they're known for the fragrances that they would give off. And so when you would walk into Jericho, then you would smell a sweet aroma in the city, because of the balsam trees that were planted there. And so it was a very pleasant place to live. And not only that, the city also had a natural spring in which it produced its own fresh water. So it was like an oasis in the middle of a desert. Okay, a very beautiful, sweet-smelling city with its own spring. And on top of that, it was a trading hub in that day. And so you had people from all different parts of the known world who would come through and come to Jericho to trade goods. It was a city that catered to the rich and wealthy. And here is where Jesus finds Zacchaeus. And Jesus is passing through. He finds Zacchaeus here in Jericho. Now, it's not a coincidence, I believe, that he finds him in Jericho. You know, there's a few things that we learn here in this passage about Zacchaeus. We don't know a lot about him, but there's enough for us to get a picture of who Zacchaeus was found in verses 1 through 10 of chapter 19. The first thing that we learn about Zacchaeus is that he's rich. He's very wealthy. Okay, in fact, it says that he was rich. And it makes sense why he lived in Jericho. It was a very wealthy place. A lot of people wanted to live there, but it catered to those who were rich and wealthy. So this is where he lived. And most likely it's where he lived. He most likely had a very large home, had many servants, had plentiful food, and fine cloths, and et cetera, et cetera. He was wealthy. Not only that, we also learned that he was a tax collector. And it says that not only was he a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector, which means that he oversaw provinces when it comes to having to collect taxes. He oversaw provinces. And for those who, you know, who may not know a lot about a tax collector, what's important to know is that they were people who were responsible, who it was their job to collect taxes on pretty much everything on behalf of the Roman Empire. And most of the time, tax collectors had a lot of money, but it was because anything that they made, it was on top of the tax that the Roman Empire was getting from them. So it was they were highly motivated to run up taxes, tax prices, as high as possible in order for them to get as much money as they could. Okay, so knowing this, it gives reasons to why Zacchaeus was so rich. It was because of tax farming, him taxing the people more in order for him to get even more for himself. Okay, now we find out that he's rich, that he's a chief tax collector, and we also find that he was also rejected by society. He was looked down by those of his own people. You see, not only was he a tax collector, he was also a Jew, which was a big no-no. Because think about it, a tax collector coming in and they're collecting taxes that they're then using to keep the people of Israel oppressed. They use those same the same funds to continue to keep their reign on them. And on top of that, you being a Jew was like you being a traitor. You have switched sides and you have become one of them. And so he was despised because they saw him as taking advantage of his own people by taxing them and by making a profit off of them as well. So this is kind of a picture that we get. He was rich, he was a chief tax collector, he was despised, and then also he was short. We know he was short. It's what the Bible says. It says that he was a short man. He was of short stature. And I did a little research, and I thought it was kind of interesting. In that time, the average height was about 5 feet 5 inches. Okay? So he had to be at least somewhere around 5 feet or shorter. And in my mind, when I think about it, in reference, I think of Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart's pretty short, you know? And he's probably shorter than him. So he was a pretty short guy, all right? And that's what the Bible says. But there's a reason why that is put in there, and we will look at that in just a minute. But Zacchaeus, just to give a picture, he was not just your everyday typical Jewish person in that day. Instead, he was looked down on by society and was treated like an outcast. And even though he was Jewish, he was still looked down, and he would have been treated like an outsider. He would have been disowned by his own family, most likely, and then also he would have been made fun of and heard comments, things like, you are not a real Jew, okay? This is the picture of Zacchaeus that you can begin to paint. And with all of that being true, Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus. This guy that nobody really liked, nobody cared about, everybody probably really disliked, borderline hated, this guy was looking for Jesus. Verse 3, it says that he was seeking to see who Jesus was, is what verse 3 says. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. Now, that's important because there were a lot of people who were looking for Jesus, specifically because Jesus was very popular in this day. When you read through the text, it talks about how thousands upon thousands of people were going to see Jesus, particularly in the second year of his earthly ministry. But although Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus, it was a little bit different than the crowds, because there were crowds of people who were looking for a show, but he was looking for Jesus in a different way, on a personal level. He was wanting to know if everything that people were saying about Jesus was really true. Because you know everybody was talking about him, and you know that he heard the rumors. He was wanting to see if Jesus really was who he said he was. So much so that because he was short, the Bible says that he climbed into a sycamore tree. Now, maybe if you grew up in a children's church, then you sang about, you know, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a little wee old man, and a little wee old man was he. And he climbed into a sycamore tree to see what he could see. I think that's right. Okay, yeah. Yes, close. All right, thank you. It's close. I appreciate it. But we sang about him. We learn about him. And we talk about him climbing into a tree. And it's a cute little song. But, you know, it wasn't necessarily cute back in the day. Back in that time. You know, in fact, you would never climb into a tree. That's something that you would never do. Okay, a man, an adult, especially a man, would not run in that culture. And also, they would not climb a tree. Okay, the only people who climbed trees in that day were children. You did not climb into a tree. And if you did, you would be made out to be a fool. You would be laughed at. You would be made fun of. It would not be something that you would do. You wouldn't be finding yourself in, you know, climbing a tree. Okay? And yet, this is exactly what Zacchaeus did. Clearly, he really wanted to find Jesus, because he would have known that he would have been breaking a cultural norm and was running the risk of being even more embarrassed and made fun of than he already was. But at this moment, he didn't care what other people thought, because he was trying to find Jesus. He took a desperate measure, I would say, to find Jesus. And not only was he looking for Jesus, but Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. You know, he was passing through Jericho, but I don't think it was a coincidence that Jesus was passing through Jericho. Jesus knew exactly who he was looking for. And there were a lot of people who were around Jesus. It says that there were crowds and that he had to climb into a tree in order to see him. So you can imagine how many people were lined up in the city of Jericho to see Jesus. So there were a lot of people there, but yet in the midst of all the people that were there, he sees Zacchaeus. He saw a man who was searching for him, who was looking for him. And yet, in the midst of everything that was happening, he saw this man, Zacchaeus, up in a tree. Verse 5, it says, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. As I said before, there were a lot of people who wanted to see Jesus because he was popular. A lot of people were looking. They wanted to find him, but because they wanted a show. But Zacchaeus was looking for something personal. He wanted to know if he really was who he said he was. People said that he was the Messiah. Is he really the Messiah? Will he really accept me? Will he really forgive me? Can he really provide relief for my soul? He was looking for Jesus, and yet Jesus saw him. When I was reading this, I was thinking on this, I just couldn't help but think about the people who are like Zacchaeus in our life who are looking for Jesus. You know, there are people all around us who are looking. They're looking for Jesus. They're looking for him, whether they realize it or not. Because let me tell you, I believe in my heart I was looking for Jesus, but I just didn't know it. I didn't realize it. I was looking for something. There was a hole in my heart that only God can fill. And I knew I needed something. I just didn't know what I was looking for. And thank God for Jenny Metter, who continued to reach out to me, who continued to invite me to church. Because it was because of her that eventually I went to church and I kept hearing about Jesus. And one day, Jesus became real to me. It was the same thing for you. Jesus became real to you. At some point, you began to search for him. You began to look for him, and he became real. Anybody remember that moment when he became real to you? You know what I'm talking about? I remember hearing about Jesus, but it was just something that you... But it was different when I really heard about Jesus. You know, this was Zacchaeus. And there are people in our life who are looking for Jesus. However, they have obstacles in front of them. You know, Zacchaeus had some obstacles in front of him. You know, he was not somebody that people imagined that the Messiah would accept. In fact, that's what they said. He's a sinner. Why would you go into his home? Why would you look for him? Why? They imagined that there is nothing that God would want to do with him. I mean, he's a tax collector. He's a sinner. He is the worst of the worst. No doubt he had things that were in his mind, things, thoughts that were coming to his mind, imagining, you know, will he really accept me? Is he really who he says he is? I've got to find this out. So much so that he was willing to do something that no one else would do. You know, sometimes there are people in our life who are looking for Jesus, and they'll do something that they would never do, although we would not recognize it as them trying to find Jesus. You know, maybe they're considering and thinking about going to church. Maybe they're starting to talk to people that they wouldn't normally talk to. Maybe, you know, you start to have conversations with your neighbors that you wouldn't normally have. You know, maybe people start to show up to church and they're looking and they're searching, but it's so out of their comfort zone. You know, for some people coming to church, that is a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal if they show up to a Bible study. It's a big deal if they talk to you, if they know you're a Christian. They're searching, they're looking. The question is, are we doing our part to reach them where they are at? You know, I remember my brother, You know, he is my brother is amazing. He's one of the nicest guys I've ever known. And he was an atheist for a long time. And I remember trying to witness to him. I remember trying to get him to follow Jesus. And I was just felt like I was spinning my wheels. And next thing you know, it turned into an argument. And because, you know, he's doing this and doing that, you know. And it's just getting on my, you know, and I'm praying and I'm trying to figure this out. And I'm wrestling. And I remember one day I was sitting with Pastor Ron and he told me something that it changed the way that I interacted with my brother. He told me, listen, man, don't try to be his pastor. Don't try to be anything else than his brother. Be the best brother you can be and just love him. And I thought, well, I can do that. So I started doing that, and I just started loving on him. And next thing you know, our conversations, you know, he started calling me, and we would have long conversations. Then he started visiting us. He would come here, and he would visit us. And the next thing you know, he went on a mission trip to Arizona. He would never do that. Yeah, there he was with us, going to Arizona. And then one day, he went on one more trip to Arizona with the young adults, and I remember getting a FaceTime call. No, it was a phone call. And he let me know, hey, Marcus, just want to let you know, man, I just got saved. And I couldn't believe, listen, I know that everybody knows someone that you just imagine would never come to Jesus. Listen, I tried everything, it seemed like, and I was just like, Lord, I don't know how this is going to happen. I know that you will, but it just seemed impossible. But man, that day seemed like the greatest day of my life, to see my brother come to Jesus. But let me tell you, I was standing in the way. Now, I didn't know it, I didn't realize it, but I was standing in the way. I thought I was trying to help, but really all I was doing was just judging him. I didn't realize it until I began to see it from a different perspective. You know, there are people in our life, in our families, you know, on our jobs, in our businesses, you know, wherever we go, there are people in our life who are trying to find Jesus, but we have to make sure that we are not standing in the way. Because some people do feel rejected. Some people do feel like there's just not a path. They're trying to find a way. But sometimes all it takes is for someone to reach out. That's what Jesus did. Jesus reached out to Zacchaeus. He reached out to him. He reached out. He saw him, and he reached out. You know, sometimes we just imagine that, I mean, I can't reach out to that person. I mean, they're just so different than me. No, I mean, there's just no way. There's no way I can do it. I mean, you know, our political views are so afar from each other. There's no way. You know, there's just no way that it can happen. Yet that person might be in our life for a very reason, for that very reason that they are that Zacchaeus in our life. You know, we may be planting seeds or we might be reaping the harvest, but either way, God is looking for someone to reach out. And that person is you. That person is me. To reach out. You know, when I was going through this, it's so funny because I couldn't help but think of David Gonzalez. And when we're sitting in the foyer, all of a sudden, I see him walking up into the foyer today. I was like, he's here. I thought it was crazy. But I remember, you know, Pastor Ron alluded to it. I remember whenever he came to church and he was sitting in his car. And I think Tina went out and talked with him. And he sent word and, you know, he wanted to talk to Pastor Ron. I just remember talking with him. You know, he just couldn't imagine coming into church. You know, this was something that he had never done before. I mean, he had tattoos. You know, I mean, people just imagine there was no way that they're going to accept me. There's no way. And yet, he took a huge step of faith, and he came in. He walked through those doors, and he sat in the back, actually somewhere near where he was sitting right now, actually. And that day, he came looking for Jesus, but that day he left born again. He found Jesus that day. But let me tell you, while he was trying to find Jesus, you best believe that Jesus was looking for him. Jesus was looking for my brother. Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. And Jesus is looking for the people in your life who are searching for him as well. And all he needs is for someone to reach out. All he needs is for someone to open the door, to extend some love, invite him to church, strike up a conversation. Somebody comes in church, meet them where they're at. Hey, man, you know, hey, what's your name? My name is, you know, and encourage them, invite them to sit with you, make them feel comfortable. Well, you know, I mean, but all it takes is for someone to reach out, because the Holy Spirit is doing the work and he will finish the deal. All he needs is for one of us to reach out. I want to encourage you to identify the Zacchaeuses in your life. It may be a conversation and all of a sudden they want to get saved. Maybe it's a long road. But let me tell you, what was 2 or 3 years with my brother honestly felt so fast. It felt like a year. It felt so short. I was enjoying my time and my conversations with my brother and just encouraging him and supporting him and loving him and praying for him. And, you know, the people in our life, all they need is for someone just to love on them, to encourage them, to open up that door and offer a friend, someone to show them Jesus. And if we can reach out, I believe that the Holy Spirit will do the rest. Amen? A few takeaways. Number one, people everywhere are looking for Jesus. You know, this is something that, you know, we hear a lot here at our church. And it's true that that people everywhere are looking for Jesus, whether they realize it or not. And I can say that factually because I had no idea I was looking for Jesus. I don't know what I was looking for. I was trying to find a girlfriend. That's what I was looking in 9th grade. But really, I was searching for anything to make me happy. Anything to cover up the wounds and the hurt that I had gone through for years. I had no idea that the answer I was looking for was Jesus. There's a lot of people who don't know what they're looking for, but they're searching for something. And the only answer, as you know, is Jesus. People, they're looking for him everywhere, whether it's in your workplace, whether it's in your neighborhood, whether it's in your friend group, whether it's in your family, whatever it is, people are looking for Jesus, and sometimes they're not as far as we think. Number two, not only are people everywhere looking for Jesus, number two, God has a plan for them. Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus, and no doubt he had a plan for him. I mean, as we saw, he had a life change. His life completely changed whenever he received Jesus. Jesus says that salvation had truly come to this house. And it says that in verse 6 that that Zacchaeus received him joyfully. And it says that he gave half of what he owned to the poor. And then he said, anyone that I stole from, I will return fourfold. The first thing I thought of is that, man, that guy had a lot of money to be able to do all that. Man, he had a lot of money. But man, no one is going to do something like that. No one just does that ever unless they've been changed. Jesus changed his life. He changed his life. He changed your life. And he's going to change the people around us who are looking for Jesus. He wants to change their life because he has a plan for them. He had a plan for Zacchaeus. And God has a plan for the people who have yet to come to him. And if we reach out, we can be a part of God's plan not only were bringing them to salvation, but accomplishing what it is that God has for their life. How cool is that? But God has a plan for them. People everywhere are looking for Jesus. God has a plan, and he just needs for you to reach out to them. God just needs for us to reach out. God just needs for us to extend an opportunity, to extend a conversation, an invite to church, to tell them about Jesus. You know, there are people who may come into our church and they just don't know who to talk to. They don't know what to do. I mean, all we got to do is extend. Someone in your life, at your workplace, in your family. You know, everybody's got that black sheep. Maybe all they need is just some love, to love them, to continue to pray and continue to reach out, because no doubt they are looking for Jesus, and Jesus is looking for them. And maybe it'll happen in an instant. Maybe it'll happen over time. However, if we can just reach out, I believe that the Holy Spirit, he will do the rest. Amen. Amen. And you know what? You are a testimony of that very thing. You are a testimony of that very thing. I know I am. Man, I went to church camp because there was basketball and there's a cute girl. Only reason why I went. But man, I found Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me encourage you today to identify that the Zacchaeus is in your life. And no doubt God will help you identify him. And as you do, let me encourage you to reach out. Let us not be the people who judge and imagine that there's no way that God will reach out to them. Let us not be those people. As Pastor Ron says, let us not say no on their behalf, but instead, let's reach out. Let's reach out to them and see what God can do. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for this dynamic message from Pastor Marcus Dunham. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastors and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.